Democrats continued their first 100 hours legislative blitz last week by passing bills dealing with the minimum wage, stem cell research, anti-terrorism measures, and negotiating prices with drug companies. But it was the new White House strategy for Iraq that dominated on Capitol Hill. After months of leaks about a new approach to Iraq, President Bush on Wednesday officially announced a plan for what he calls a surge of nearly 21,000 American troops to pacify Baghdad. He warned that it wouldn't be a quick fix.
Even if our new strategy works exactly as planned, deadly acts of violence will continue, and we must expect more Iraqi and American casualties. The question is whether our new strategy will bring us closer to success. I believe that it will.
But most Democrats and many Republicans were not as confident. Senate Foreign Relations Committee Chairman Joseph Biden was one of many who were harshly criticizing the plan.
We all hoped and prayed that the president would present us with a plan that would make things better. Instead, I fear that what the president has proposed is more likely to make things worse.
Joining us to talk about the issue of Iraq is Doyle McManus, Washington Bureau Chief for the Los Angeles Times. Good morning, Doyle.
Good morning, John.
The White House said it was prepared for criticism of the president's plan. Do you think the administration was prepared for the intensity of the opposition to it?
Well, yes and no, but mainly no. The White House expected, of course, Democratic opposition, and the White House expected pushback from some Republicans, like Senator Chuck Hagel of Nebraska, who have turned into war skeptics. But what they weren't ready for was the skepticism at the center of the Republican caucus. Actually, they got objections from at least one quite surprising Republican, Senator Sam Brownback of Kansas, mm-hmm. a conservative who's running for president and who may believe there are anti-war Republicans out there who want to vote for him. But there was skepticism even from loyalists like Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. And to me, the most telling indicator of how the climate has changed in Washington was the skepticism or silence from people the administration would normally rely on as allies. John Warner of Virginia, the former chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, an enormously influential figure on defense issues, said he wasn't really sure this was the right plan. Senator Dick Lugar of Indiana, the former chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, was basically silent and said he was still studying it. Not a lot of allies out there for the administration.
President Bush says the success of the plan depends on the Iraqis taking the lead in fighting both Sunni insurgents and Shiite militias. But there are questions about whether Iraqi Prime Minister Maliki is fully backing the plan.
Well, it wasn't really his plan in the first place, despite what the administration likes to say. And administration officials in private are quite bluntly skeptical about Maliki's loyalties. This isn't just a question of tactics. This is a question of his loyalties, and they pose the question, is Prime Minister Maliki a leader who wants to lead a non-sectarian Iraq of Shiite, Sunnis, and Kurds, or is he merely trying to advance the interest of his own Shiite constituency? And they have actually framed this operation not just as an attempt to turn the tide of the war, but as a way to test Maliki. And the first test was not encouraging because the prime minister chose a general to lead the operation in Baghdad who is a Shiite, who is from the forces that are his own political base, and who was not the first choice of the American commanders. So the first report card wasn't good.
There was one section of the president's speech that caused particular concern in some quarters. It was about Iran.
Iran is providing material support for attacks on American troops. We will disrupt the attacks on our forces. We will interrupt the flow of support from Iran and Syria. And we will seek out and destroy the networks providing advanced weaponry and training to our enemies in Iraq.
Doyle, that caused some jitters about the possibility of this war being widened. Is that what the president intends?
Well, he probably intended to cause some jitters in Tehran, but he caused some jitters on Capitol Hill as well. Look, this administration has been arguing consistently that Iran is the root of much of the evil in the Middle East. But After this announcement came the news that American forces had raided an Iranian government office in Erbil in northern Iraq and arrested people there. It was the second such operation. The question arose, was there a hot pursuit policy that if Iranian agents were found smuggling weapons into Iraq, would troops go across the border? And so there were a lot of tough questions, including from Senator Biden and from Senator Jim Webb of Virginia, who pressed the administration to clarify whether it believes it now has the authority to go to war against Iran. General Peter Pace, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, was very quick to try and put that toothpaste back in the tube and say, no, there is no need and no intention to go across the border. But the saber rattling was clearly there.
Mm-hmm. How would you judge the response to the president's new plan from the U.S. troops, the people who will be on the front lines, particularly the National Guard and the reserves?
Well, there was kind of a split reaction. Look, American troops in the field believe in their mission and always say can do. But if you go to units out there in the field and say, ladies and gentlemen, you were expecting to come home in 2 months and that's being extended by 3 or 4, don't expect them to embrace that idea. There was clearly unhappiness over that. And I think the real unhappiness will be in the months to come as units of the National Guard and Reserves out there in the country who thought they had done their time in Iraq get notice that they may be going back.
Doyle McManus is the Washington Bureau Chief of the Los Angeles Times. Thanks for coming in this morning, Doyle.
Thank you, John.